Nasanta's Real, a global godly community that has been created for real ones to share their real stories with the hopes of encouraging others struggling with real issues. It is where you are reminded through real ones that your issues are strengths for a greater purpose. Before we dive into today's reel, I am reminding someone who has been listening for quite a while that you need to share your story. In the event that you are ready, then feel free to contact me on Instagram at nasanta.law or Twitter at nasantalaw. You may also reach out to me on WhatsApp at 876-505-2993. Here's today's episode with Nasanta Law. This is a public service announcement that this is the last piece of episode where I could ever listen to on Nasanta's Reel for the year 2020. Okay, so I got into the technicalities of my brain a while ago and I'm like, yeah, maybe you choose to listen to some other things in 2020, but this is the official last podcast with me upload for Nasanta's Reel for this year. Yeah, we made it. We have made it. I don't remember how many podcasts, episodes we did this year, but we did it. It was a hard year for me to keep the content going, I won't lie. There was even a silent period where, sis, bro, I totally gave up. I was like, I'm done with podcasting. But then, I don't even remember how it went. Maybe being rejected so much and recognizing that I need to do something, as well as recognizing I don't remember how it went, but I started to work on stuff again, and yeah, this is literally us. We have done so much since then, and I'm legit just proud of Nasanta's Reel and the growth. It has been tremendous. Manatil no lie. I'm grateful. Wanna hear the gratefulness? Gratefulness. is legit coming from my heart. For all the persons who constantly shared my podcast, you were like, fam, listen to this. Listen to Nasanta's Reel. Yo, I appreciate you. I appreciate even the person who scrolled over it and you never listen, because that means that you see me. So eventually, you are going to be sensitized to listening to me at one point. Because, you know, when you're doing something new, it's expected. And I want persons, especially persons who want to launch new content going into the new year, to know this, that there's going to be some persons who will literally jump on as you say, bam, may I do this. Then you'll have other persons who will wait a bit. You can kind of understand that, because persons like to see if you're gonna be consistent, what are you gonna bring to the table and stuff, right? Then you have some people who will literally not listen. And that's fine, because you have to bear in mind that when you are... The whole notion of, for the general public, it's a lie. You have to have a target audience. Your messages, whatever contents you're preparing, it's geared toward a specific set of people. And listen to me. Me, thankful, because I know that podcasting, well, when I launched, podcasting wasn't necessarily something that a lot of persons were into in Jamaica. However, gradually, everybody just jump on. I'm like, yeah, love to see it. Happy that I started out when it wasn't so quote-unquote saturated. But nonetheless, if you're listening and you want to start a podcast, don't make me saying, well, wait upon saturation, get you to not do it. I say go for it. One thing that I always remember whenever I feel hesitant to do something new that other persons may be doing as well is that when you go into the supermarket, you see different types of bread. You even see different types of water. Every water, may never taste most bottled waters with like taste the same way. Any bottled water would taste the same way. You have to bring something different. So just come with it, podcast, and bring something different to the table. But anyways, guys, yeah. So I'm just like happy that we literally made it, and I have great plans. Just like the Lord. Well, the Lord gave me great plans, then I will say. For the year 2021, God willing, it's gonna be big, it's gonna be better than ever. Looking back at being a podcaster for, it's going into my second year, it has been great. If you're somebody who's been listening for the very first time, like from that time when I did the Accepting Where I Am podcast back, I think it was June 14, 2020. 2019, you'll recognize that Nasanta has certainly grown. Like sometimes I do listen to the old reels and I'm like, oh, cringy moment, did I say that? Why did I say that? But then I recognize that it has really been documenting, chronicling my growth and everything. And you know, this year I see where the biggest growth that was chronicled was that of my spiritual woman. I was about to say man, but my spiritual woman, like, yeah, boy. And like in like it being, you know, there spiritually, and like by growing, I've seen more into why it is that I need to continue doing this podcast. At first, I'm not gonna tell you no lie. I was literally caught up in the numbers. I was caught up in the places and stuff. And sometimes I felt the opposite of encouraged. Discouraged. Yes, sis, just put the dis before. I felt dissed. I was dissed. I was dissed by the numbers and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna continue with this. But in all of it, I learned that you know, just blow that certain things, like things will not last long to take out, going just blow up like that. But good things take time, and it's a part of the progress, it's a part of the story. And at the same time, I've been learning that Christ will give you the little bit to see what kind of steward you are, to then say, okay, all right, my gear a little bit more, and then he gradually does that. And in comparison to the year 2019 when I started versus now, I've seen where God has really been multiplying the numbers, tripling, hippling them. Listen, in I think it was in about August or so, early August, the numbers that I had, they were of like list streams, then let's say streams, it was little in comparison to how we're ending the year. Like all of a sudden, I remember just praying to God, and I encourage everybody, when you have a vision, lay it before God, ask God to lead you. How should I improve this? What should I actually do? Right? I did that, and God pointed me in the direction of Near Series, aka Crowned in Faith, and from there on, things just went differently. I got various inspirations and stuff. Sometimes I couldn't even sleep because I'm like, yeah, I need to do this, I need to do that, and so on. I was pumped. However, 2020 also saw me with days when, even after everything started blowing up, when I felt overwhelmed and I was drained, because you know, passion, it's actually an emotion, and sometimes you lose the passion, and that's why it's so important for us to know the purpose behind doing whatever it is that we're doing in our lives. And I lost it. I had a lot of disappointments, and I was like, oh, by the way, I'm outside. So, yeah. Okay, so the truck passed. For those who are new, oh, where are my manners? Welcome, everybody. Yeah, if you're really new to the podcast, then just know that you'll have to expect a lot of these, because for the most part, Nasanta loves to record outside. By the way, people, I am believing in God that a home studio will come true soon. Y'all just keep this ministry in your prayers. Me, I'm not phased, like, going back to what I was talking about with God giving you little to see what you will do with it. I've been basically using my iPhone 5S to record the podcasts. Sometimes I use it alone for edit, as well as to create the audiograms that some of you may see on, like, Instagram or my WhatsApp status. So yeah, me right now, I have no excuse. God has been blessing me, so I'm doing this. But back to the fact of the matter, there were days when I literally didn't want to continue doing this, wanted to just give it up, felt so overwhelmed by disappointments. I remember one time I had this episode, like, some people may know about it. I was pumped about it and stuff, and I put out some posts to say, yo guys, get ready, this is a hot new episodes that are gonna come on the scene. And eventually it reached that point where I had to retract everything, and I did feel embarrassed bad, especially with how it was done, you know. I felt so guilty. I felt like, even though I wasn't trying to defame anybody or anything like that, I just felt so bad, so ugly and stuff. And I just wanted to stop it, because I'm like, people are going to look on Nasanta's reel like it's a joke or something. And I was so upset, you know? Like, I was literally so upset. And reached that point where I didn't even want to publish the episode after I dealt with it and stuff. And I went through this time when it took so much out of me, and I have to thank God for God just being in my life that time, from us having activated our relationship in such a way that he basically told me to go read something in my email. I saw something like that. No. So I have this thing when my passion was burning, you know, with the vision of Nasanta's reel, and I was pumped and stuff. And on the good thing is that I wrote about the purpose of Nasanta's reel. So I was inspired by God to go read it. And while reading it, I wanted to cry. I was like, I'm not fulfilling the purpose if I do this. And then after that, I was inspired to read this thing in my email. It was so timely, and I knew that God was in it, and it was showing me the importance of working on the purpose. And it asked me some, I don't remember the questions. I should have starred that in my email and thing. For telling no chore, never know someone that share it. But yeah, and that draped me. After that, God started to drape me in one-on-one conversations. I'm like, yeah, I need to do better. Okay. So that was what 2020 looked like. Then there were other instances from where me heart did broke up in pieces. All right, so I referenced that because recently I listened to one of the podcasts, the episodes that I did back in February. I think it's The Real Part 2 with my friend Patricia. So it was where we were talking about how we felt in terms of relationships and stuff. And I remember re-listening it and I was like, yeah, I need to come back and address this. Because, like, I think I said it earlier, where I see that I've been growing. Like, I've literally been growing. And some of those ideologies, they don't match up with me right now. But, I mean, yo, 2020, my heart was broken into pieces. I saw lightning flashing before my eyes, but through it all, fam, I remembered that God loves me and he cared. Y'all, if you don't know that song, go check it out by I think it's Kirk Franklin. That's a song I'm that try for talk, like me on the lyrics, but yeah. And it's because of that I just want to let some people be reminded of stuff like this, that pause for a minute, like just pause, symbolically stop looking on other persons who are north, south, east, west, all over in your life right now. Like, stop, look upon them, look up and look to God, and you'll realize that you're good. I mean, when we stop to compare ourselves to other people, we realize everything that's not the same as them in our lives. And sometimes we feel like because it's not the same, that means that something is wrong with our lives and we lack something. But yo, I just want to remind you that God has you where he needs you when he needs you there. Yeah. Like, you don't have to rush. And I mean, what I say, because I was looking on life like that, I created some stumbling blocks in my own life. I initiated relationships with persons, not necessarily like, yo, I'm your girlfriend, you my boyfriend, and we boyfriend and girlfriends, you know, not like that, but, you know, a connection rather with persons that I didn't need to create, but it stemmed from a place of thinking that this was something that I lacked. And so, like Michael Todd likes to talk about it in his relationship goals, it was like I was shooting my shot, but it was misguided. My eyes were blindfolded and stuff. I didn't realize what I was doing. And the blindfolds, many times, it's really our emotions and not necessarily the word of God and what God really wants for us. Many times we act haphazardly, and then after that we're asking God to bless something that he didn't even call you into in the first place. And bro, that happened to me and some people who might be listening right now. And I'll just say, you're not missing out. It's a Christmas season right now. Today is December 24th as I record. I don't know when I'm going to upload this. But in Christmas season, you see enough people love to be lovey-dovey and stuff. And you start to wonder what's happening with me after this season, Valentine's, and you know. But you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. Something that has recently resurfaced to me is that Adam was the first person ever created on this earth. And did you like know or recognize or even deep it that, yo, Adam, he didn't even know that he was alone. And he didn't know that because he was surrounded by the animals that represented him walking in his purpose, as well as he had a great relationship with Christ. And Christ was the one that was like, yo, Adam, you're alone, you know. And I was like, oh, cool, really? I'm alone? I'm gonna look for somebody. God didn't say go look for nobody. He took it upon himself and he went around looking for people and looking for an equal then. And you can just imagine how many animals there are in the world. So many of them we don't even know about. But just the ones that we know, That's a lot of animals to go through, actually, to try to find. And then at the end of the day, he was so tired. And I feel like that's the same thing for a lot of us. We are the ones going out and about, making it our business instead of focusing on purpose. And, you know, going around, getting tired, breaking our hearts, putting our hands in tigers' mouths and stuff, getting swallowed whole by big fishes and stuff because we weren't waiting on God. But eventually, God allowed Adam to rest. And it was when he rested, he slept. The person came, well, God presented somebody to him. So I would say, yo, just rest, yo. Stop getting so caught up in finding the right person. Be the right person. That's a cliche saying, but I totally endorse it. Just be the right person, especially growing into your relationship with God. God will literally present some ideal people for say, oh, pause, look a bit, look at this person cool, look at that person, what about him? Because I've grown to learn that God isn't gonna say, na Santa, go and marry this person's the one that I totally created for you, and if I don't go for that person then, and I marry somebody else, we have kids, then I have the wrong baby. And no, God doesn't work like that. And you know what's so funny? Where sometimes we sit down and we're like, God, just tell me who the right person is. And like we're asking about a thing like that. That's serious, but it's not as serious as worshiping Christ. Christ not even forced with worship him. And something like just being with somebody, we feel like God is gonna legit force us to be with, like, you have to be with it. No, that's crazy. So yeah, and the other thing that came to mind was that, yo, we need to stop coming out of that notion of, yo, I'm just waiting for my boas. Calm down. Like, literally calm down. Recently I reread Ruth, because I've said it in a couple of voice notes. Not voice notes. Well, yeah, voice notes, because I've been talking about this individual preaching one-to-one and stuff. But I've been saying this in a couple of the episodes that I've been doing Bible study with some of my friends, and we read Ruth. And all along, me tell the God's Ruth. When me used to read Ruth, I never used to read it. But just did I read what other people say, which was just wait for your boss, and that's all the chapter was about. Just wait for your boss, full stop, in the four chapters. But then I read it and I recognized that it's bigger than just waiting for your boss, because Ruth was like, before me never really admire Ruth, because me just say, well, if people like Ruth, and I don't like the characters that a lot of people like to like, because in my head I'm supposed to be different. Foolishness, still I'm working on that. Recently my brother was like, why you have to be in a competition with everything? I no longer want to be in a competition. It's fine now, Santa, it's fine that everybody likes Ruth. You like Ruth now? Calm down. So I was reading the book of Ruth, and I realized that, first of all, Ruth was like, yo, mommy, I love you, and you just lost your sons, and I don't care if you're sending me home, I'm gonna stay with you. And I realize that you're good people and you have God people around you, so wherever you go, I'll go, even if you want to call yourself Mara, meaning, oh, you're bitter now and full of sorrow and this and that, I don't really care, I'm just coming with you. And eventually she went with her mother-in-law, and then she took it upon herself, because she's like, I'm going with you, I'm gonna take care of you, calm yourself down, woman. After that, she went there, she's like, okay, now we're here, I need to go look work, I need to get things done, you need to eat food, Thankfully, a barley season, so we're gonna get barley and okra and stuff to eat, right? She took it upon herself, but nobody talks about that, or they talk about it, but I'm too deaf to hear because it keeps saying it just stop at focus on your boas and stuff. Anyways, so sis was like, yeah, barley season. Then she went into Boaz's field, not to look no man or have no man look she, but to go work. And then he saw her and he was like, yo, the girl look different, that woman, sorry, looks different. He found out about her, and then this man, he protected her. He was like, I'm outside. Literally, I'm literally outside. But he was really outside talking to the persons who were working on his field, and he was like, you young men, I don't want you to trouble this young woman. Make sure stay with the other maid servants and stuff. Full stop. Right? After that, girl was there working, and then she went home. She told Naomi. Naomi was so happy. She's like, girl, you don't even see what God's doing. Don't you realize that? This man is a kinsman. He can redeem us, get Willan, get this, get that, get that, get everything that my past husband, sort of the predicament of Emelik, whatever, I don't want to say whatever his name was, but whomever Naomi's husband was, he had the ability to fix that. But we don't see where she was like, ooh, child, I'm going to wait on my boss to come through. No. After that, Naomi told her to go to the threshing floor. And when she went to the threshing floor, she should talk to him, right? So, eventually now, Ruth, she went there, and he ate, he drank, he slept, and he woke up and he saw her. And then my girl, she was so bold. Nobody talks about her boldness like that. Every time I hear about a female Bible character, I hear about Esther was bold. Yo, Ruth was bold too. I like Ruth. So anyways, Ruth was like, yo boys, I want you to marry me so that I can get this land figured out, and so that my mother-in-law can be good. And then in that moment, that man saw her for who she really was. She was like the virtuous woman in Proverbs. Like, she virtuous. He was like, yo, never have I seen a more virtuous woman than you. Imagine, Ruth, you could have talked to any younger man, any man with money. He literally was talking about that. But you come to me. All right, Irwa, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to work things out, and things will be great. And then in the same breath, he was like, yo, but I do know about somebody else who can redeem me, but here, I'm going to do this. Then he sent her out. He was like, protecting her integrity before anything to, you know, demand money. That's our next thing too. If you want to go with that philosophy of, oh, I'm going to look for my boss, look for if he's telling other young men to leave you alone, and he's also leaving you alone to work on your purpose. Because he's never that fool around her. He's my lord for work on our purpose. Is he allowing you to work on what you're doing, or he's so needy, like, yo, text me. What's he saying? Anyways, so after that, no, he was like, I don't want nobody for no say the dare. And he's all girl look of food, not saying girl look of barley now whatever scarf they have covered. Not saying that you're supposed to say the man must give it things like that, but is a good look still. Anyways, so that happened, and then after that, I think Naomi, Ruth was so concerned if he would say yes or no, because he was like her last hope to help Naomi. She's not about think about herself, brother. So then So then, like, she did that, and Naomi was like, "Don't worry yourself. This guy will come say something. Trust me, he might go sort it out." Eventually, he took matters into his own hands. That's when we see Boaz start for the real action. You know, he called the elders of the place plus the other kinsman, was like, "Yo, here's a dilemma. We need to sort out Naomi's land and stuff and so on. Are you willing to buy the other kinsman?" He was like, "Yeah, sure." But then he was like, Boaz, that is, was like, "Really? I'm gonna throw in something because I want to marry Ruth. Are you willing to marry Ruth? Because that's a part of the deal." Man was like, "No, hell no, 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 no." And then after that, persons were like, "Yo, let this be a beautiful blessing, like the house of Judah," because you know that Boaz was from the tribe of Judah and this and that. And after that, after she seek first God and seek first something bigger than herself, she got Obed, and then Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had David, and David had people, and then Joseph, who was Jesus's father, came forth. And great, mentioning this because it's Christmas time. But yeah, I say all of that to say that there was purpose. There was purpose, like literally working on what she needed to be doing, allowed her to graduate into a bigger purpose. She was the great great great, 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 great grandmother and so of Jesus, you know. So let me just say all of this, because I said a lot, to say don't get your heart in the wrong place, especially as you move into a new year. Let Jesus be the main focus on of your attention. We get so caught up in the earthly marriage that we forget about the eternal marriage with Christ being the groom and the church being his bride. And there is a scripture to say that you should place your mind on things above, and wherever your heart is, they say treasure there. I think may I mix up the scriptures in together, but I mean, we should ensure that the things and above, the things and what we are set with mind on are kingdom minded thing. I'm not saying that it's not normal to consider these things. Yeah, it's great and stuff. We do think about it, but don't let it be that you're so caught up in getting those things right that you miss out on living life, of working on your purpose, of doing so many things. Like, one thing that I've certainly learned recently, and these days I can totally say that I love Paul the Apostle. Where I'm really, like, before, when I used to hear single people talking about, yo, I don't want nobody, I'm totally fine with Jesus, I'd be like, yo, top chat foolishness, you need somebody. But these days, as I cling to Christ more, as I cling to pursuing my purpose more, and just being so caught up in working on relationships, like friendships and stuff with people, I've realized that you don't necessarily luck. It's like you have so much to give, is what it's totally about, right? So people who are pressuring single people to get married, leave us alone. Leave us alone. We are totally good, especially if when we're pursuing our purpose and just getting things into play. The best time to serve the Lord is in your singleship. Yeah, so I say that. Also, I want persons to go into the new year holding on to ideology that you are more than enough. Many times we listen to the devil's lies and we feel like, say, we're not loved, we're not valued, we're not this, we're not that. But I tell you, go read the love letter that Jesus addresses to you, all over in the Bible. Just go read it, and you realize that you're so much more. You're called for so much more. Read even Psalm 139, you know. The devil's intention is always to work on your self-esteem, you know, because once you don't know who you are, then it's so easy for you to morph into who he wants you to be. And that's something too that I was battling with for quite a while, especially into the first part of this year. I had so many questions about my self-identity, but in spending time with God, time in the Word, just praying and stuff, fasting, I've recognized that I'm a unique being, and there's so much that God has given me. Listen, another thing with the whole comparison things, you see, when you just focus on who you are and what you are called to do, oh my God, are you doing it? Listen, no matter what nobody else I do, once you know, say you are doing your part, you feel so great, because we have this, we need to remember that we aren't just one living organism, just like that, like a one body and a this and a that by itself. We're a part of something bigger. So what you do it impacts what I do, and it's like a chain reaction. So you see, when you are efficiently functioning and I'm efficiently functioning, whatever God called us to be, it's like so beautiful. So yeah, totally endorse you. You're just stepping out into your purpose. Yo, it's so easy to get fearful about doing new things and thing, but I say step out in faith. Let God amaze you. Don't look at your limitations as the dictation to say that you're not supposed to be doing this. I've grown to realize in scriptures that many times the things that God has really called us to do is not anything that we can do on our own, it's not anything that we can do on our own, but we'll need his strength to lead us. And yeah, if you see God calling you to do something, don't shy away. I am coming out of that mentality of no longer shine away and just say, okay, God, this is what they want me to do, I need you. Like, don't shy away. I was reading about David recently, and I saw something significant. Maybe preachers have been always talking about it, but I was just slow to knowing this. Listen, I'll tell you this straight up. This year, I'm going to start to understand the Bible more and see what the preachers been talking to me about. And I have to, like, interpret it in a kind of way that I understand it. But anyways, when David went to the battle, he felt like there was a calling upon his life. Yo, you need to face the Philistines and stuff. And when he was there, he was so secure in his identity, because he knew that my purpose was to do this. And I killed some rabbits. And I killed some bears. I killed some this. I must can kill a Goliath, right? And because you see, if people don't tell you who you are, if people tell you who you are and you don't know who you are, yo, it's so easy to believe. Because these people were like, yo, David, look at you and look at us. You really feel like, say, you can do this? Calm down. Go sit down. Go play with your rabbits, boy. So David was like, yo, where were you when God allowed me to kill a lion, kill a bear, kill a this? He talked about his past victories, and that's what people need to do. You're getting called to do something, people be like, yo, this isn't the room for you. Remind them and remind yourself, where were you when God called me to do this and do that and do this and do that? Like, God will allow us to have small momentums in our life, and sometimes we'll feel insignificant about them. But when we join all of them together, we realize that God has been allowing us to do something bigger from the get-go. But if, may I tell you this, if him did ever show the bigger picture from beginning and say, I want you to do this, then that, we'll be like, who, God, you talking to me? You must be talking to the other girl over there, because you ain't talking to me. Me not do this. So that's how God works. And I'm like literally all over the place, but I just want to encourage you, young people, old people, real ones, to just don't shy away. Just, oh my God, just learn more about God. And the last thing that I want to touch base with is to let your relationship with Christ be more practical. Let it be more practical. For me, I struggled with having a relationship with God because I saw rules before I saw relationship. And I feel like I'm not the only person who has dealt with this. And like, I used to see the rules and I'm like, hell no, I can't do this. You want me to abide by this? I can't. Like, the more you say don't do this, the more me say do this, do this, do this. I'm not saying I never see it. And now that I have seen Christ as, like, and plus me see just see God as this wicked good person. As in, he's good if you're nice to him and wicked if you're not nice to him. Like, I used to see God that way. I was scared of God to some extent. Well, to all extents. But now, I've been seeing God as so much more. He's so multifaceted. I see him as a lover, as a friend, as a brother, as my father, as so many different roles. And most importantly, I see him as my dearest friend. And before, I used to wonder why people were singing, but he's my dearest friend. I'm like, calm down. What do you know about God? God is God. God not a friend. That's what I used to think. But now I've come to realize that he's so much more than that. And once we're able to recognize that and then try to take small steps towards it, we'll realize that the rules are just guidelines to help us, but and so on. But just look on the relationship first. And now with a relationship with me and Christ, like, I've made it so practical. Like, at first I used to struggle with, like, praying to him, because I used to feel like prayer was like, oh, Abba Father, this and that. And yo, prayer was so ugly and boring. Who would pray? Not me. Yeah, prayer did just look ugly. But now I realize that prayer is basically me just talking to him, like, God, this girl is annoying me. Sort out our mouth. Make sure she shut up. In Jesus' name, amen. That turned into prayer for me. Things like that. God, you know, I was hurt when she said this to me. Please sort that out. God, what am I gonna eat? Help me. God, where should I go? You know, things like that. Prayer without ceasing. I used to think that prayer without ceasing mean ceasing in my head, it means stop. So it does say you mustn't pray. I don't remember what I tried to say, but that thing, I didn't know that praying without ceasing meant just continuing in prayer throughout the day. I used to think that you're supposed to pray this long, everlasting prayer. Say you must pray this long, everlasting prayer and it don't stop. But praying without ceasing means that you go through the day with prayer. You go through the day with involving God in whatever it is that you're doing through conversation and thing. And yeah, I'm like, one time I was like, okay, God, so you want to be so involved in everything that I do. How do we make this work? And I remember one time I literally said, okay, so if I had a boyfriend, how would I tell him this news? And that's literally how I started to weighing on things. Like, if I had something great happen to me, I'm like, God, even though God know, God, I got the money and me just feel happy. That's how you text somebody you're in a relationship with, yeah? So I started to do that. So I totally endorse, like, anybody who's battling with having a relationship with Christ, let it get practical. Before, to me, used to read the Bible just for say, read the Bible, but now I'm reading it for so much more. I'll say, do small steps. You won't always understand everything that you're reading, but when you're about to read, ask him for clarity. Ask him to tell you what it is that you're saying to me, what it is that you want me to know. And always try to meditate on that. Like, you can read like a passage a day, but ensure that there's always going to be even one convicting word more while. Meditate on it. And then meditate on it, and listen, you will be so surprised to find that God just gives you so many points of views, so many different encouragement and so on, for weeks, days, months, may I tell you, even years, for just hold on to with that one scripture and thing. Like, having a relationship with Christ is like having a relationship with any other person. Literally, things won't be great always, but you have to put in the work, and there'll be times when you're silent but still push. Communication is important. If you don't talk, then of course things are going to be dry. Yeah, and then you have to feed the relationships with just more than that. You have to do things like acts of service, how pleasing God through doing things that you're supposed to be doing, such as encouraging other people, blessing other people with your talents, your skills, and even monetary aid or kind. Be kind, you know. So I feel like this episode has gone quite longer than I actually anticipated. So this is where I will most definitely wrap up. But yeah, 2020, I feel like that's what we started on. It was really an interesting year, filled with a lot of lessons. And I am just ecstatic to see and to feel what it is that God will be doing for me, as well as Nasanta's Reel globally. I believe that we haven't even seen the best yet. We haven't. I just want to touch base with this, that just wait on God. Situations might get ugly and stuff, but this is a hard truth. From when God created things, it was for us to have a comfortable life. Reference of that is that there wasn't any rain. Like, the waters would just spring up and water the plants. Now we have to manually water these plants sometimes for them to even get water. Water these plants up, like get them hydrated. And that was how life was supposed to be. We were supposed to be living comfortably. But then sin entered the world, and it changed the whole operation of how mankind relates and all that kind of thing. So now we see where life isn't necessarily about living comfortably, but it's about having character development to prepare us to create us to be more like Jesus, to then be able to go into heaven, right? And in order to do that, we have to wait upon God. We have to just trust him that he is the one that will come through on our behalf, because we can't do nothing on our own. Like, New Age religion will tell you to just manifest it. Listen to me. Manifestation like that, it's different from faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's different from asking God for things. When you think about manifesting, you feel it's like it gives you that notion like you're your own God and you're gonna get it. Well, their person who manifested on my behalf, like, I was just listening to the person. I shared with the person how I was applying for this job in Qatar this year, actually. And he was like, yo, you're gonna get it. I'm manifesting this for you. Your manifestation was wrong. I'm still there, Jamaica. And them send me emails, so them reject me. Well, not necessarily rejected. Based on COVID, the whole process was postponed. And yeah. Oh, that's something else to talk about. Yo, dealing with rejection. 2020 was the year of rejections. My self-esteem was battered, bruised, and belittled. I wanted another B word. Battered, bruised, and broken. Broken, battered, bruised, and beaten. No. But, yeah. But I want people to remember that though persons may quote-unquote reject you, it doesn't change your worth. We tend to feel like because people don't want us or people don't accept us for certain stuff, it takes away from our actual worth. No, it doesn't. It's just a reflection of them and what they desire. But it has nothing to do with how little you should undervalue yourself. Or so people have a right to have preferences. It's fine. People have freedom of choice. It's fine. But don't let it dictate your identity. And having all of that, it was really hard for me. But what helped me through was the scripture, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good. So though I would cry over certain stuff not working out, it was just like, yo, that's fine. And I started to think on things like, I know of instances where people, they were not even qualified for certain positions and they flopped in interviews, flopped in first interactions and a lot of things. But because divine favor was upon their life, because this was God's intended, they got it. So no matter what, if it's for you, it is for you, despite your lack of qualification. Like, God qualifies people. Yeah, go read the scriptures. Look at David. Again, David was... Okay, you know what? This is where I wrap up because this is getting awfully long. But, yeah, thank you guys for totally supporting Nasanta's Reel. And I'm just looking forward to the year ahead, God willing. And yeah, that's all, folks. Happy New Year when it comes. And well, I started my new year in December, on December 1st. So yeah, but Happy New Year when it comes according to your calendar, because I love to live in my own world, the world, as well as Merry Christmas. Hopefully I do put up this pretty early so that you will hear the wishes. But yeah, Merry Christmas, and well, better yet, season's greeting from Nasanta's Reel. And this is where we sign out, and you hear my goat for the last time this year. So I love you all. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. In the event that you were listening for the very first time, a warm welcome is extended to you. You are officially a part of the Reel family. Also, if you have listened and you feel a tug on your heart to share your Reel story, then don't hesitate. Reach out to me on Instagram at nasanta.law or Twitter at nasantalaw. You may also message me on WhatsApp at 876-505-2993. Once again, thank you for listening to today's show. Do listen for my goat.